The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said to him, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he comes down, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. And they approached him to offer him wine, and they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And above him there was an inscription which read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other, however, rebuked him, saying, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And then he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I'll offer the homiletic remarks from here today. This beautiful arrangement somehow impeded and displaced me, so this will be fine. I hesitate to preach at that level because the people at the back find it difficult. They just hear a voice coming from somewhere up there. So we'll speak from here. Today is the feast of Christ the King, saying Jesus Christ conquered the world. So let us take a look at this and wonder what this means to us. We are familiar, maybe too familiar, with the cross. We wear crosses, we bless ourselves and the sign of the cross. In our homes we have crucifixes and crosses. And what does it mean? What does it mean that we bless ourselves in the sign of the cross? What does it mean that we wear signs of the cross? It means we're followers of Jesus Christ, but it must mean more than that. So let me reflect for a few moments on what it might mean to us in practical pastoral life to say we are followers of Jesus Christ and we hold up the cross as the sign. It's a sign of God's infinite love, but it's a sign of much more than that. So let's reflect on this for a few moments. Ronald Rollheiser, the theologian, speaking about the public life of Christ, he said, in the 3 years of the public life of Christ, he had 3 years of activity, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the multitude, calming the waters, miracles, many, many miracles of all kinds. He was active. This was his activity, his public statement of his presence as the one who was foretold. But the last week of his life, after the Last Supper, he goes to Gethsemane, he goes through the agony in the garden, and now begins the last week, which we call the Passion. And the Passion involves suffering, pain, rejection. It involves loneliness, radical loneliness. We've spoken about that before. We have loneliness of absence. And then you have the loneliness of the spirit, called moral loneliness. It's an emptiness inside of me. It's, I lost meaning in life. It's, I'm adrift. It's a moral loneliness, a loneliness of the soul. And then the most powerful and piercing loneliness of all is radical loneliness. It's the loneliness of ingratitude. It's the loneliness when I find myself abandoned, ignored, denied, betrayed by those whom I trusted the most in my life. Jesus goes through this radical loneliness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he is terrified, reflecting on the death which is about to be his destiny. And his disciples, the ones closest to him, a stone's throw away, that's what it says, they're asleep. They ignore him. So we have this passion of Jesus, the pain, the suffering, the loneliness, the emptiness, the abandonment. But in the passion of Jesus, Rollheiser says, there is more for us to reflect. Passion comes from the Latin word passio, which means to be passive. So in his active 3 years of his public life, he's active, and now he is passive. He doesn't exercise any divine power. He's passive. And he teaches us now in the passion about the power of passivity, the power of letting things go. What does this mean in practical life? I've spoken about the great influence that my father had in my life. He was my icon. He was my inspiration. He was my standard, the North Star. Honorable man, hardworking, religious, went to Mass every day. Hardworking, decent, honorable, charitable man. All the things you look for in the ideal father. And in that way, he inspired me many times in my life. And then we got toward the end of his life. He got a stroke. And I got a call saying, your father's in the hospital, dangerously ill from a stroke. So I went back to Ireland. I spent a couple of weeks with him every day. Now he was powerless. This was his passivity. He was no longer in charge. He was no longer powerful in all the things he did. He was no longer reaching out to help the sick. Now he was powerless. He needed somebody to take care of everything, all his needs. This was his passivity. And for the time I spent with him every day during his passivity, he inspired me more than I was ever inspired in his activity. The sense of peace, the sense of God's presence. And during that time, I think I mentioned before when I was leaving, I said I have to leave tomorrow morning, but I'll be back in 3 weeks. Since the doctor had said I think he's getting better, I said I'll be back in 3 months, I'll be back. So he said, fine, I want you to go back to Holy Family. Cardinal Manning wasn't doing well at the time. I had to take care of him. But he said, I want you to do something before you leave. Would you hear my confession? I said, oh, my God, I'm hearing the confession of my father, who was my icon. Well, I heard his confession, his passivity, his humility, the depth of his spirituality, his sense of peace in the presence of God. Inspired me. His passivity was more inspiring than his activity. Some of you will remember reading Tuesdays with Maury. Remember reading that? Came out here some years ago. It's a very interesting story. Maury Schwartz was a professor at Brandeis, very powerful professor. And now he has ALS, totally paralyzed, going through great pain and suffering. His passivity. Mitch Albom, was one time a student of his at Brandeis. Now he's in his midlife, on the threshold of he's 37 years old. He was a journalist, a sports journalist, but also an author, successful by many standards, and yet his life was not fulfilled. There was something missing from Mitch Albom's life. So he decides to go to see his professor, Maury Schwartz. Every Tuesday for 14 Tuesdays. And in his passivity, they speak about the important things in life. Speak about the meaning of life. They speak about the meaning of love, fidelity. Speak about relationships. The things that really matter in life became their conversation every Tuesday for 14 Tuesdays before Maury died. And that transformed the life of Mitch Albom. All the activity, all the inspiration of activity didn't impact his life as much as the 14 weeks where Maury was paralyzed. His passivity was more powerful than his activity. What does this mean to us today, tomorrow, the next day? The churches will meet this Thursday in your tables and in your homes. Who's going to have the last word? Who will talk more and who will listen more? Who will be welcome and who will be tolerated? Who will be missing from your table? If we all think alike, some wise person said, if we all think alike, there isn't much thinking going on. So what happens when we differ? What happens when there's a division? Is it active or is it passive? At what level do we open ourselves up and say, generosity is more than greed? To allow the other person to have the last word is more important than winning. An act of kindness is far more important than an act of intellectual superiority. So how do we take the teaching of this day, the passivity of Jesus Christ, and find that to come alive when we gather for Thanksgiving? For some people, Thanksgiving is wonderful and everybody is perfect and they're all wonderful and fabulous. But not many. We're all human. We're all carrying wounds. We're all carrying stuff from the past. So at what point do we say, I'm going to learn more how to live with others, how to communicate with others through the passivity of Jesus Christ? In that way, Jesus Christ conquered the world. He said, peace is better than war. Kindness is better than violence. There's a manner in which we can, through our passivity, enrich the lives of our families, bless the tables for our Thanksgiving, so that somehow, following the teaching of Jesus Christ, we will understand what it means to wear a cross, to have a crucifix in your home, or to bless yourself in this manner. Amen.